This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
435, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Friday Eve. I got to tell you, weather-wise, it's not bad at all. We've got some sunshine, relatively cool and comfortable temperatures, and from the looks of it, it's going to be like that for a while. That's good. I'm glad to see that. We've had enough rain for a bit. We've got a decision out of Dinwiddie County. Dinwiddie County jury has found Wavy Jones, a former security staff member at Central State Hospital, not guilty of involuntary manslaughter in the death of Ivo Otieno. You remember this case, right, from March of last year. Well, it is ongoing. There are a number of people who are part of this case, and there are seven deputy sheriffs from the Henrico County Sheriff's Office who were initially indicted on second-degree murder charges. You and I have spoken about the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund many, many times. Generally, our buddy Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, has talked about it because Jimmy sits on the board. Well, we now have a matter involving a deputy sheriff in Henrico, and I'm very happy to say that Jason Johnson, who's the president of the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund, is joining us to talk about that. Jason, thank you for being here.
Absolutely, Jeff. Great to be with you today.
Well, the pleasure is all ours. Give us the lay of the land. Who exactly are we talking about as far as the deputy sheriff goes, and why did Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund say, yeah, this is a case we are going to take?
Well, Jeff, first of all, I mean, you know, like many of the cases that we get involved in that involve law enforcement officers, it's a tragedy all the way around. You know, there's a loss of life here of a man, Mr. Otieno, who obviously suffered from mental illness, was in crisis, and unfortunately died during his confinement when he was actually at Central State Hospital. As you noted, the case involves a number of sheriff's deputies. It had, you know, seven that were initially charged with murder, and then a handful of hospital workers at Central State. We were approached about potentially providing some legal defense funding for one of the deputy sheriffs involved, Kyle Sanders. And we, you know, took a very careful review of the case, looked at all of the evidence. Probably the best piece of evidence many people have seen is the video. And so the video, I think, conveys that this was a situation where the sheriff's deputies and the hospital workers are doing the very best they can with a man who was in crisis, who was very strong, had been combative, had been fighting, had been resisting, and they just were trying to get the help he deserved, and unfortunately he died. And you know, one of the big issues in the trial was the cause of death, and you know, we can get into that, but there was some competing testimony about whether it was something called positional restraint asphyxia or whether it was a heart attack. And I think in light of the jury's verdict, that we don't know the details of why they acquitted this hospital worker, but it very well may have been the cause of death, as well as some of the other evidence that really showed law enforcement acting in good faith and really doing the best they can.
Jason Johnson is joining us, the president of the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund. Jason, we've both seen video throughout the years, and I don't know about you, there have been some piece of video where I just cringed and thought, oh my God, that is wrong, or that's painful, or boy, this is going to be tough for anybody to explain, but I understand what's going on. That seems to be the case with this entire Otieno matter. There have been bits and pieces of the video that have been selectively released that have really steered people in certain directions, but it's the totality of this that you have to look at, right?
Oh, absolutely, and I would even say, you know, I do sometimes see videos, even from my perspective, where I see law enforcement interacting with someone in a way that I don't think is good. Either it's just going to be difficult to explain, or frankly, in some cases, I would say few cases, but some cases where it's just outright wrong. This is not one of those cases. What you don't see on the videos, you don't see, first of all, you don't see any officer use force on Mr. Hotianna. There's no striking, kicking, punching, or anything like that. You don't see, you really don't even see anyone applying weight to him in terms of like putting a knee on top of him. And that is something that law enforcement officers know can lead to positional restraint asphyxia. Mm-hmm. And his even Mr. Otieno's body position is very hard to discern from looking at the video. And I understand there was testimony in this case that he actually was not prone, as alleged by the Commonwealth. So, you know, I all in all, this case is a little bit of a head-scratcher for me. I think there was a rush to judgment. I think the then-Commonwealth's attorney felt an incredible amount of pressure. You know, Ben Crump flying to town, riling up the media. It was a national media story. Yep. And that, you know, that kind of pressure on a prosecutor can result in charges that should never have been brought. And I think that's what we have in this case. And as your listeners probably know, and as I know you know, Jeff, the Commonwealth attorney at the time then resigned and left the country. And we're two prosecutors later now. So things have changed quite a bit in this case.
And I think one of the things we should point out, and it's certainly no offense to the fine people in Dinwiddie County, but it is,
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Relatively small county in terms of population. It's not a CA's office that sees cases like this on a regular basis. And you put that together with, as you point out, Ben Crump parachuting into town. All of a sudden, this is a national issue. There are racial overtones. There's all, and I personally believe that the CA charged incorrectly, overcharged at the very least. So where are we today? We know because Jimmy Galliano is a frequent guest on this program, Jason, that Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund does not take every case. You get a lot of people asking or requesting some sort of assistance, and you review it and say, no, we're not taking that because we think you are in the wrong or because it just doesn't sit right. You looked at this with, is it one deputy sheriff that reached out? Is it all the deputy sheriffs? And you said, yeah, we're going to take this case.
Yeah, so Deputy Kyle Sanders is the deputy that we are supporting his legal defense. He's one of now two deputies that remain charged in the case, and we've been, you know, going back and forth with Deputy Sanders, his legal counsel, and so forth over the last number of months. What we hope will happen, since your question is what happens now, is what we really hope will happen is the Commonwealth attorney will take another look at this case. They've now got a jury verdict acquitting the first defendant. And, you know, the evidence is going to be the same for defendant number two and defendant number three. If you watch the video, there's really no conduct in the video that distinguishes one defendant from the other. In fact, there's really no conduct that distinguishes the current defendants from the initial defendants. So, I mean, there's a question about how did they decide who to remain the remaining charges against. It's really hard to tell by looking at the evidence. What we hope is that they'll take a very close look at this, and I think they will. And they'll determine that this is not a criminal case, and no, none of the two remaining deputies, their cases should not proceed to trial, and they, you know, we should move on with the understanding that it's not a criminal matter. This was, if anything, you know, there's always potential to learn and improve from any incident, and this is no different. And we have to look, you know, objectively at these cases, and if we can get better, if law enforcement can get better, it should. But just because you get a bad outcome doesn't mean that someone should be charged with a crime and sent to prison.
Spot on. It is absolutely my opinion. You're absolutely correct, Jason. Give everybody a reminder, if you don't mind, that they can help the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund. We want you guys to be able to take the cases that need to be taken, the website that people can look at.
Sure, yeah. So our website is policedefense.org. Lots of information on our website, information about cases that were, you know, other cases around the country in which we're supporting law enforcement officers that we believe are wrongly charged with crimes related to their work. Also, lots of other information. We, in addition to our case defense work, we also do a lot of public advocacy on the on behalf of law enforcement, try to tell the story of the brave men and women of law enforcement who are working hard in trying circumstances, and general criminal justice issue. We push back against local prosecutors that are more focused on prosecuting law enforcement officers than people who are actually committing crimes. So policedefense.org is where you can find that. And then we're on all the big social media platforms like X and Facebook and Instagram. And our handle there on all three is LELDS.
And if folks are looking at it and say, look, I don't know about any of these other cases, but my local deputy here in Henrico, I'd like to help him out. Can they specify that that's the case they're looking to support?
If they want to do that, we'd have to ask them to mail. If you go to the website, we're able to take donations through the website, and they can indicate. Yeah, they can indicate which officer they prefer to support. But if they send us a donation through the mail, we can handle that specifically. If they just send us a note to which case that they like it to go, in this case, to support Deputy Sanders.
Okay, so easiest thing, though, policedefense.org, policedefense.org. If you do want to mail a check, you'll find the mailing address there. If you just want to do it online, you can do it there. Jason, thank you for doing what you do at Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund, and I appreciate you making some time for us today.
Absolutely. Pleasure to be here. Tell Jimmy I said hi if I don't talk to him before the next time he joins you.
You bet. Thank you so much. That is Jason Johnson. He is the president of the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund. This is all involving that OTNO matter. And I know people who knew Ivo OTNO, thought he was a wonderful human being. I have no doubt. And there's no doubt as you look at the video that this is somebody in crisis. The question is, was there anybody involved in that? And in particular, Henrico County Deputy Sheriff Sanders doing anything wrong? And the verdict today out of Dinwiddie would indicate that the answer is no. No. It is about this question. Did Mr. Otieno die as a result of being positioned in such a way? What was his breathing obstructed? That's asphyxiation. Or was it a heart attack? Well, again, the decision out of Dinwiddie has found a former security staff member at Central State not guilty. And I would say that probably, hopefully, bodes well for the deputy sheriffs. 446, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.